We've got Ike Brooks lined up, ready to talk about this Saturday's presentation on Women Negro Leaguers at the Baseball Heritage Museum. And we'll bring Ike up on the hotline right now. Ike, thank you so much for the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, so far so good. We're doing okay here in studio, and I'm awfully intrigued about the presentation this coming Saturday. You'll tell the tales of a few different women on Saturday, but I want to begin with Effa Manley. And for those who aren't familiar with her story, can you please explain what makes her story so compelling?
Well, number one, Effa Manley is the only woman enshrined in Cooperstown.
Wow. Okay.
Two, the reason she's there is that she was co-owner of a baseball team called the Newark Eagles. Many Clevelanders ought to be aware of that team because that's where Larry Doby played during his time in Negro League baseball. Effa Manley, as owner of the team, not only had Larry Doby make it to the major leagues, there were two others who made it to the major leagues that came out of that team, Monty Irvin and Don Newcomb. And Don Newcomb just passed away earlier this month. In addition, there are seven Hall of Famers, not counting her, who played on the Newark Eagles: Ray Dandridge, Leon Day, Larry Doby, of course, Monty Irvin, Biz Mackey, Mule Suttles, who you get a kick out of his name. I don't know why. Maybe it's because you're Bull and he's Mule, and Willie Wells.
If he was a part of the show, we'd have to find a more creative name than Bullseye on the Afternoon, but I love where you went with that. That's awfully intriguing. I mean, you think back to the way things were back in the 50s, and, you know, that really kind of adds more fuel to the fire of Effa Manley's story. It really is incredible.
Yes, yes. Effa, as owner, married Abe Manley. That was circa 1935. That team went on to win the Negro League World Series in 1946. Not only was she active in baseball, but she was active in improving social conditions at the time. She led a number of don't buy where you can't work boycotts in the New York City and Newark, New Jersey area. She was treasurer of the Newark chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. She did things to help fundraising for the community hospital in Newark, because at the time, blacks and whites couldn't use the same health facilities. So she did things to make sure that the Booker T. Washington Community Hospital would be up and operating.
Wow.
The woman she was.
Very, very interesting stuff. Now, she's one of a few that you'll be discussing, and I know part of your presentation, you'll be talking about three female players, and the league was certainly struggling for survival in the 50s. So what was it that prompted the league to sign three female players?
Well, because integration occurred in Major League Baseball, the attraction was to try to keep Negro League Baseball operating as much as you can. So not only were women recruited, whites were recruited to play Negro League Baseball. In fact, the Cleveland Buckeyes recruited a guy named Eddie Cleff to play for them. He met the same kind of Jim Crow laws that blacks met. For example, the team once attempted to play in Birmingham, Alabama, but there was a rule that said blacks and whites couldn't be on the same field, so Eddie Cleff had to return to Cleveland and wait for the team to get back there to play. But women were viewed as a gate attraction for Negro League Baseball. And the first woman, her name was Toni Stone, was recruited by Pollock of the Indianapolis Clowns. She should be a trivia question. If you ever hear Alex Trebek ask the question, who played second base for the Indianapolis Clowns after Hank Aaron left?
Wow.
You should say, who is or who was Toni Stone?
Wow. Wow, very interesting stuff. Now, well, you kind of alluded to some of it here, but what is it that made these three female players so unique, and what was it exactly that made them stand out?
They were skilled. number one. Tony Stone, for example, when playing over the 50 games she played with the Clowns, her batting average was .243. So by today's standard, she'd be a millionaire.
Yeah. Interestingly put, you're right. Yeah, I mean, at 243, she would most definitely be a millionaire. And well, and I guess the other thing, too, is you didn't hear as much about females playing so much back then. I mean, much less African-American female players as well. So how exactly was it that they were discovered?
Well, Toni Stone, I'll use her as the first example, grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And she played minor league, well, I guess it would be called little league baseball there. And she left St. Paul to join her sister in the San Francisco area, and she continued to play baseball. That was her main interest. She played for a professional team called the San Francisco Sea Lions in 1949. The interesting aspect of that is her first time up, she batted in two runs. Okay, she left the Sea Lions, moved to New Orleans, joined a team called the Black Pelicans. After playing with them for a while, she played for the New Orleans Creoles. And this is circa 1949 to 52. And then she was signed by Pollock of the Clowns, Indianapolis Clowns, in 1953.
Wow. And it's interesting, too, the paths that we're taking as well, because you're not talking about one particular area. You're talking about spots basically all over the country as well. And I guess more importantly, what kind of an impact did that have? Because, you're talking about so many different areas of the country.
Impact from the female perspective is, and especially a black female, while I'm not able to talk to that, but just what the history books suggest to us is that she was met not only with racism, but with sexism.
Sure. Certainly very difficult to deal with at any stage in history. No doubt about that. Again, Ike Brooks is joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon this Saturday at the Baseball Heritage Museum. He's giving a presentation on women Negro Leaguers. And, well, you've detailed some really interesting examples here about how, you know, females were integrated into the Negro Leagues, talking about how, you know, with all the Negro Leaguers who ended up becoming very, very big and household names going on to play in Major League Baseball, that kind of opened the door here to some degree for some of these female players to come in. And I find it interesting.
As you look at the second player was Mamie Peanut Johnson. Now, I had the good fortune of actually meeting her. Met her many, many years ago at a Negro League baseball conference. Mamie grew up in South Carolina, moved to the Washington, D.C. area. While there, she played with some semi-pro teams and actually went for a tryout in, I guess this is about 1952-53, to try out for the Women's League, the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And they would not let her try out. Reason for that, obviously, is segregation was the rule, and there were no exceptions. So later that year, as a 19-year-older, she tried out then for the Indianapolis Clowns. She was a pitcher. And over her tenure in Negro League baseball, she won 33 games and lost 8. She also played in the infield and had a batting average that was somewhere .262 to .284.
Now, I know in your presentation on Saturday, you're certainly giving a few specific examples. You mentioned there are three female players that were signed, and you also spent some time on Effa Manley. About how many females eventually ended up going on to play in the Negro Leagues?
Well, all that we know of are these three. Keep in mind, at the time they came into the league was going away. So if you think of it, next year will be the 100th anniversary of Negro League Baseball. And this is 1953 to 1955 that these women were playing. And by most accounts, by 1960, Negro League baseball was just a part of history in this country.
Wow. And again, the presentation is this Saturday, March 23rd, the Baseball Heritage Museum, 1 to 3 p.m. Ike Brooks is giving the presentation on women Negro Leaguers. Should be really, really fascinating. And I think, if nothing else, like, this is certainly eye-opening, the fact that, you know, there were three females that ended up playing in the Negro Leagues, and very interesting stories that go along with that. You'll be there from 1 to 3 on Saturday, correct?
That is correct.
Good stuff. Well, Ike, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to Saturday.
And just before we go, I have to give credit. Connie Morgan was the third woman. She's left out of most every recollection of Negro League baseball, so let's not leave her out of this one.
Okay, very nice. And I know she will not be left out on Saturday, correct?
That is correct, Andy.
Good stuff. Ike, thank you again for the time.
Thank you.